We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Turn over to the first chapter of the book of Luke. Look down about verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted or greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of my salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb, in womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hunger with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has hoped his servant Israel in remembrance of mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now I want to preach just for a little while this morning. Promise you we won't keep you here long unless the Lord so desires to. But anyway, I want to preach here and use a thought here. Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Now the months between the announcements of Christ's birth and the actual moment of his arrival were months of very hard decisions and anxious waiting on the part of Mary and Joseph. But however, as difficult a time as it surely was, it was a pleasure to watch Mary see how she conducted herself. Keep in mind, a young girl, how she conducted herself. And so in this passage, she has made the journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is expecting also a very special baby. And we know that very special baby was John the Baptist. And he's very special because Jesus said himself, there has never been a man born of woman that is any greater than John the Baptist. So she was with child with a very special baby also. So here, as we see here in this, when Mary arrives here at her cousin's house, and she speaks to Elizabeth, the baby, which is John the Baptist, that was in Elizabeth's womb, he leaps for joy. Now let me just pull over here and say something. This baby that was in the womb of Elizabeth, when she heard the announcement, said that he leaped with joy. And what does that do? That reminds us that an unborn child is more than just a mere blob of flesh.
Amen.
Yeah. I wish these liberals could comprehend that. I wish these politicians could comprehend. I wish all these women rights people and all these people could understand that what's conceived in those wounds is more than just a blob of flesh.
Yeah.
Elizabeth responded by telling Mary that she is blessed because she has believed the Lord, and that God will do all that he has said that he will do through and in her life. And so, with that being said, and hearing this, Mary, even though she's young, Even though she's unmarried, and even though she's pregnant, she begins to lift her voice to praise to the Lord. And so, in doing so, she reveals her heart. She reveals what kind of person she is, and she reveals a heart that is in love with the Lord, and also a mind that has been saturated with the Old Testament scriptures and prophecies. She knew what the Word of God said. She knew that a Savior was going to come to this world through a virgin. She understood that, even though she was very young. And she teaches us that we can praise the Lord in spite of our circumstances, even in the most troubled of times. Is that not right? It don't matter about your circumstances. We have reasons to praise the Lord this morning. And so Mary's great song of praise here has become known as the Magnificat. I know that you all knew that, but it has been. And this is a Latin translation of the first few words which Mary speaks, and it literally means, "My soul celebrates the Lord." That's what it means. My soul celebrates the Lord. And so this reminds me today that the birth of Jesus, and I need to get this message in, the birth of Jesus is far more than gifts. The birth of Jesus is far more than decorated Christmas trees. The birth of Christmas is far more than the myths of Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Grinch and all these kind of things. The Christmas season is about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about learning to celebrate His glory and His goodness. And so, therefore, this morning, I want to spend just a few minutes here looking into this right here, and join Mary in celebration of the Lord this morning. The first thing I want you to see is in verse 46 through verse 49. Mary celebrates the Lord for personal grace. Mary celebrates the Lord for personal grace. These first few verses here, Mary expresses her personal praise to the Lord for His blessings upon her life. In doing so, she sets an example for every Christian. She sets an example for every one of us here an example that we should follow. The first object for which, if you look in verse 47, for which she lifts her voice in praise is for salvation. Now listen, like the rest of us, Mary was born in sin. Now you need to understand that, and stood in need of a Savior, just like all of us did. And in verse 47, she declares her dependence upon God. She said, "For God, my Savior, here." And she showed that she depended on God for salvation. She's simply praising the Lord for the salvation that she possesses. Your life, you may be sitting here this morning, and your life may be falling apart. There may be some terrible things that are going on in your life. But if you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a reason this morning to praise the Lord, no matter what's going on in your life. And so, according to Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, simple salvation is reason enough to praise the Lord. Look what Luke 10, 20 says. Jesus sent His disciples out, and He gave them powers to tread on serpents and all those kind of things. And boy, they came back, and they put their thumbs and their suspenders, and they reared back their chest, and they said, "Boy, we have power. We could tread on serpents. We could cast out spirits and all those kind of things." And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Those things are wonderful." But look what He said in Luke 10, 20. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." Don't rejoice in those things. But He said that the spirits are subject unto you. "But rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven." If you're saved this morning, your name is written in heaven, and that is enough sufficient for you to rejoice and praise the Lord about here this morning. And so we want you to see, think about it. Because you're saved, sitting here in this pew this morning, because you're saved, you have the assurance that you'll never go to hell. Pretty good, isn't it? That's a pretty good assurance. That's pretty good to know that you won't. Because I believe, and I know you all believe, I believe they are a literal burning hell, don't you? That people go there not just because they're mean people, but they go there because they refuse Jesus. They never accept Him as their Savior. And not only that, but I want to say this. If you're saved, you'll never stand at the great white throne judgment and be judged and cast into the lake of fire. That's pretty good, something to be excited about here this morning. Not only that, but you will never be, not only that, but if you're saved this morning, means that when you die that you have access into the very presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so you'll experience the very presence of the Lord throughout all eternity. And so you're a child of the King right now. And so I'm simply saying that we have abundant reason, regardless of what else is going on in your life or what you're lacking, and as far as material things is concerned, maybe as far as health is concerned, if you're saved, you have abundant reasons to praise the Lord. You're blessed far beyond what we could ever imagine. Now listen, I challenge every Christian under the sound of my voice to offer the sacrifice of praise unto the Lord today. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Some may argue, say, preacher, I just don't have anything to praise the Lord for. If you knew my life, you wouldn't stand up there in that pulpit and tell me to praise the Lord if you knew what was going on. If you knew what I needed, you knew how I felt. What Mary is speaking out here is about a personal relationship that she has with the Lord. She knew what she was talking about. When you got saved, when you're saved and you know it, He'll put some rejoicing in your heart.
Is that not true? If you're saved and you really know that you're saved and what you're saved from and what you're saved to, then He'll put some rejoicing down in your heart. That'll probably find its way out through your lips. And so here, I'd say there's some people sitting right here this morning. You may not shout, but I bet you there's some sitting here this morning you'd like to. Because you think about what you got. You'd like to shout, but you think, boy, I don't know about what I think about me. Won't you just try it sometime? Just try it anyway. We got something to shout about this morning. We're saved this morning. That's what Mary's saying. She said, above everything else, I'm a 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl. I'm supposed to have been betrothed and keep myself pure for my husband. Now I'm pregnant, and all those long-tongued Baptists are out there talking about me and backbiting and all those kind of things. But I'm rejoiced in the fact that I know that I'm saved. And so here she's saying, and I want us to look here. She said, regard in verse 48, to turn the eyes upon. Mary is telling Elizabeth that she is a nobody. But I want to tell you something. I know a God that can take a nobody and make a somebody out of him. I was a nobody. As far as this world is concerned, I'm still a nobody. But in the eyes of God, I'm a somebody. I'm a child of God. I used to say this right here. I'm just a nobody telling everybody that there's a somebody that can save anybody. Is that not right? It's all I am. And so here, she said, you may be a nobody, but you have experienced the grace of God firsthand. I wasn't a nobody. I was a nobody, but I experienced the grace of God one day as a 21, 22-year-old man. Thought that I would raised up in church and played the part and talked the language, but I never met Jesus. Listen to what I'm saying. And so here Mary knows that she does not deserve the wonderful favor of the Lord that has been extended to her, yet the Lord did it anyway. There's none of us sitting here this morning that say that deserves it. There wasn't none of us worthy of salvation. There wasn't none of us that was good enough for it to be given to us. We're all sinners. And so we who are saved have been chosen. We've been called and been saved by pure grace. There was nothing in us. And there's nothing in us then, and there's nothing in us now that would commend us to the Lord. Just old, dirty sinners. Just old, wicked sinners. That's all we had to offer. We didn't have anything that would commend us to the Lord. However, in His grace, He loved us. And He reached down and He saved us when we responded to Him by faith. And so to be regarded by the Lord is a tremendous thing. Look what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, none of us, and so even the great Apostle Paul, he was a product of pure grace. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, if you see anything good in me, it's because of the grace of God. I am what that I am by the grace of God. There's nothing good in this flesh. Not anything good. And so here, that's reason enough to praise the Lord. Mary realized that God is doing something pretty wonderful through her life. And all she is to be means here and after all she's to be the means by which the God of eternity enters human history. She's going to be the means of the God of the universe. The God of eternity. The God that was here before there was anything. The God that was here before the world was, while it was void and without anything. Before the universe. He was going to enter human history through her. Man, that's pretty good, isn't it? That she is going to be the vessel. She's going to be the agent through which God is going to enter this world. While many in her day ridiculed and talked about her, hey, they said, that Mary, she was betrothed to Joseph. She was supposed to keep herself pure. And look at her, she's pregnant. She has broken that vow. She sinned. And they were making fun of her, condemning her. And they ridiculed her. And they knew that in days to come, Mary knew in days to come, even though what was going on right now, others would look back on her obedience and know that she has been blessed by the Lord. Her reward was the fact that God was to be glorified and that others would be blessed through her actions. We that are sitting here this morning are blessed through the actions of Mary, through the obedience of Mary. Every one of us in this room has been saved. I think we have to acknowledge this morning and say that the Lord has done great things in and to us.
Amen.
But you have to say that this morning.
Amen.
The Lord has done great things for me. God has been so good to me. God has blessed me so wonderfully. Changed our lives. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Brand new creation. Not the old man patched up, but a brand new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Think of the blessings that you've enjoyed. Think of the benefits that are yours because you're a child of God. Think of the glory that awaits you in the future. Think of all of that. We've been blessed abundantly. Like Mary, we have reasons to praise the name of the Lord. Are we doing as we should? We have reasons. I know I'm not going to get to that all I wanted to say, but what I have said. Then Mary not only celebrates the Lord for personal grace, but she celebrates the Lord for perpetual grace. It means ongoing grace. Us preachers, we have to start every word with the same letter. So you got personal, then you got perpetual. Mary knows that she's not the only one that's been received grace from God. Nor is her generation that can expect the hand of God to move. It wasn't just in her generation. The grace is to be revealed in every generation until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And I'm thankful that we have experienced that. Let me come to a close for this right here. Mary reminds us who realizes their lack that they can come to the Lord and be filled. While those who think they have nothing, when those who think they have need of nothing, if you come before the Lord and you think that you don't have any need of anything, then that's just exactly what the Scripture says God's going to give you, is nothing. But you come humbly before the Lord and say, God, here I am. I need you. I need help. Then that's what God's going to give you, is what you need.
Yes.
And then I want to talk to you as a lost individual with my closing. There's many people today that are seeing themselves through rose-colored glasses. They think and they say things like, and this is what I hear when we go on visitation, I'm as good as though that crowd out there at that church where you pastor. I'm as good as that bunch. I'm a good person. I don't steal. I don't hurt anyone. I mind my own business. Well, at least I'm not a hypocrite like those people that goes to church out there. But however, what they're missing is that salvation does not rely on how that crowd down there at the church is doing.
That's right.
But real salvation rest in your personal relationship with God Almighty.
Amen.
It don't matter how anybody else is doing. You can't hide behind that. Every person is responsible for themselves. And so many are like the church of Laodicea and think they got everything, but they don't have nothing. And so Mary saw this perpetual grace. Mary saw this. And could I say in closing, we're indebted to Mary this morning, but I want to make sure I get this out here because I know what some people believe. We're indebted to Mary, not to the extent that we fall before her or a statue and worship her. Absolutely not. Not that we should pray to her. Absolutely not.
Amen.
Not that we should hold her higher than anyone else who's ever lived. We owe her a debt of gratitude for reminding us that whether it's personal grace, whether it's perpetual grace, or those times when the Lord proves himself faithful in the lives of his children, we have a God who's worthy of faith and worthy of love and worthy of praise and worship. With that in mind, I ask you this question this morning. Do you have the same heart that dwelled in Mary? Do you have a personal relationship with Almighty God this morning? Do you? Are you in such a position in your walk with the Lord that you can celebrate Him this Christmas? Or is all your Christmas going to be limited to this year is eating food and opening Christmas presents? I hope it's more than that. I hope you can celebrate the Lord this year. I was watching, Pam makes me watch. She does. She ties me down to the chair and makes me watch those cooking shows with her. And I was watching Tricia Yearwood. And she said, you know what? She said, my favorite memory, my favorite thing to do on Christmas is the candlelight service. I thought, boy, I'm glad we have one of those. Of all the things that rich, famous star could have said, I thank God that I can go down there at the house of God on Christmas Eve and light a candle that illustrates the light has come into this world through the birth of a little child, shone in darkness that those who are walking in darkness could be saved.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.